Without reconciliation to God,
there will be no new creation. Without being reconciled to God, there will be no hope of a new creation. That's the message that Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians in this second letter that he's writing. And he mentions this idea of a new creation. And he is heavy on the topic of reconciliation, which he also hit on to the letter to the Romans, as Paul read for us earlier in Romans chapter 5. Being reconciled to God is of utmost importance if we want to have hope of a new creation. You know, we look all the way back, that term new creation, that thought just brings us back to the creation itself. And we see all those great images of the world being created, everything placed in the world, the universe around us being spoken into existence by the mighty voice of God. And we think about that creation, and then we think about this new creation that we have a hope of after this world is destroyed. We have a hope of a new creation. We have a hope of a new home with God forever. But without being reconciled to God, without reconciliation, there is no hope of a new creation. Can you imagine a family that has 10 siblings, 10 children, maybe 11, maybe 12, getting right around there, the number that Brother Bill has in his family? I know that my grandmother had 13 siblings. And I guess as the generations went on, and there's still some farming families that have many children, but kind of the culture has shifted to where I believe the average household now has 2.13 children or something like that. But the average amount of children has drastically gone down. But can you imagine being in a household with double-digit children? I mean, we gave my mother hard enough time for her keeping up with us, and there was just four of us. But can you imagine being part of a family and you're going somewhere, going into town for whatever reason it might be, and having to keep up with two-digit number amount of kids running around the marketplace trying to find where they were? And if they were anything like us, they didn't make it easy. And in fact, in a situation like that, you can imagine that at some point, a child's going to get left somewhere. Have you ever been left somewhere? Have you ever gone somewhere and think back to your childhood and been left somewhere? Or maybe been left somewhere by your spouse. I don't know. That's a different story, different lesson for another time. But if you've ever been left somewhere, it's not a great feeling. And especially as a young child who, you don't know how you're going to get back home. You don't know the surrounding, something that you thought was familiar, something that once was comfortable and something once that felt safe, because there's that security of having your parents or maybe an aunt and uncle, maybe some form of family, an adult that you knew was there. But all of a sudden, that safety net is ripped away because you've been left. And so all of a sudden, that feeling of comfort, that feeling of safety has now been ripped away. And then do you remember the feeling if you had ever been left? That feeling of being reestablished with your family. That feeling of, oh, I'm finally home. I miss being there. Brother or sister, I'm never going to say mean things to you again. I'm never going to be mean to you again. I miss you so much. I love you so much. Of course, we all know that's not true. Sibling rivalries continue. But that feeling of safety all of a sudden floods back in you as you're reestablished with, as you're reconciled to your family. And so this message of reconciliation that Paul points out in Romans chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is one of a reestablishment of a relationship between God and us. That's exactly what reconciliation means. If you go all the way back, that's what that word means. You know, you might be sitting here thinking, oh, we're going to talk about reconciliation. I don't even know how to spell that word, much less pronounce it, and I certainly don't know what it means. That's what it is. Think about that feeling of being reestablished with comfort, of safety, of hope. That reestablishment of a relationship with God is what is going to allow us to experience the new creation, which Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians. And so without reconciliation to God, there will be no hope. There will be no new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to start off by looking at down in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down in verse 16. This is what Paul writes to start off this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And so we see that terminology that Paul uses, that hope of a home with God, that hope of an eternal bliss with God, that hope of a home in heaven. Hopefully everyone in here has a goal of making it to heaven. Hopefully everyone in here wants their family to go to heaven and certainly themselves to go to heaven. But without reconciliation to God, we can't have that new creation. We can't have that hope of a home with him. Old things, he says there in the latter part of verse 17, have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, have you ever gotten anything that was new? You know, gotten in a, stepped in a new car, you know, you got that new car smell. Just, oh man, I wish it smelled like this forever. If you're anything like me, it doesn't take very long for that smell to go away. But that newness, that new feeling, that new smell, unless we have been reconciled to God, we won't experience that newness, that freshness, that sense of all things becoming new. Verse 18, he says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us, who has reestablished our relationship with, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so now we've seen what exactly this reconciliation means, this idea of a reestablishment of a relationship. And now all of a sudden we see Paul writing to the church in Corinth that they have now been given this ministry of reconciliation. How important it is for us to carry out that ministry of reconciliation. And this isn't just to a select few. This is to the church. This is to each and every one of the members. This ministry of reconciliation. And so if this idea of reconciliation, which he says there in that verse, that he's reconciled us to himself. Keep in mind, this is not something that we have any control of. Yes, there's things that we have to do. Don't get me wrong. But this ministry of reconciliation that has been given to us, this concept of being reconciled to God, is something that is brought about by God. How? Through Jesus Christ, he says there in verse 18. Look in verse 19. He goes on to describe a little bit more what this ministry of reconciliation entails. He says, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And now all of a sudden we see that not only has God given us the ministry of reconciliation, but he's also entrusted to us, committed to us, the word of reconciliation. Man, what a heavy weight that has been put on us. To carry out this ministry of reconciliation, to go out and show people the word of reconciliation, the hope of a new creation that we have through Jesus Christ that has been brought about by God. And through this reconciliation, through this reestablishment of a relationship with God, we have a hope of a new creation. But without being reconciled to God, there will be no new creation. And so we can go back and think about images of the beautiful nature that God created, the untainted world that he created, the perfect man that he formed out of the dust, and how much this world has corrupted, not morality, though that's a different lesson for a different time, but just the earth in and of itself has corrupted. When God brought about the flood, he wiped out everything. And if you think about that, he not only wiped out the morality, but everything went underwater. You know, all the things that he had created, you can't survive that long underwater. And so much of the nature that he created had died. And then whenever the water subsided, there was, in a sense, a new creation. And then we have this new hope of another kind of new creation at the end of time. The home that he has prepared for us, this beautiful home in heaven. But unless we are reconciled to God, and that reconciliation being brought about by God through Jesus Christ, unless we have a reestablished relationship with God, we won't have any hope of that new creation. We won't have any hope of a home in heaven. He says in the last couple of verses of the chapter, in verse 20, now then, We are ambassadors for Christ. Man, that, you know, Paul's putting a lot of weight on the Christian shoulders here, giving them a ministry of reconciliation that they are to oversee and that they are to carry out. He's entrusted to them the word of reconciliation, and now he calls himself and the other apostles, we are ambassadors of Christ. And though we aren't ambassadors in the same way as the apostles were, you know, we don't have the miraculous gifts that they carried out, and we don't stand in the same place and, you know, the foundation of the church as Paul writes to the Ephesians, based on Christ being the cornerstone and on the teachings of the apostles. We're not ambassadors in that sense, but in the sense that we are carrying out this word of reconciliation, that we are given the ministry of reconciliation. We are representatives of Christ. How great a burden that is, and how much we should think about not taking that load lightly. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ in verse 20. As though God were pleading through us. And this is the plea that all Christians should have, mind you, in verse 20. He calls himself an ambassador of Christ. We can all consider ourselves representatives of Christ. And as those representatives of Christ, verse 20, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Have a reestablished relationship with God. You see the importance of this reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation that has been given us, this word of reconciliation that we've been entrusted with, this idea of being a representative, an ambassador in a sense, of Christ is a very important thing. And the plea that we should be going out into all the world and preaching is that of being reconciled to God. Because it's in that reconciliation with God, it's in that reestablished relationship with God that we only have a hope of a home in heaven. And so as Christians, as representatives of Christ, that is our plea. Verse 21, the last verse of the chapter. For he made him, and what a touching verse this is. It really hits the nail on the head of what reconciliation is, what a reestablished relationship with God looks like, and why that could be brought about. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How sad it was that Christ had to die on the cross so that we could have a hope of a home in heaven. There was no other way for that to happen. As we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, even Christ was pleading and praying with God for another way, but there was no other way. The only way for this reconciliation, the only way for mankind, the humans that God created, to have a reestablishment of a relationship with their Creator was for Christ to be sin. A man that was made perfect, a man who deserved nothing that he got. Oftentimes we complain about the different circumstances that we find ourselves in and ask the vain question, why me? And yet Christ, who truly had a reason to ask why me, was led to the slaughter like a lamb, silent. He made him who knew no sin. Christ didn't know sin. He knew about sin. He saw the sin that was in the world. He knew what his mission was, to come down to the earth and live that perfect life. But he knew no sin. The Hebrews writer tells us he knows all our temptations. He has been through everything and yet has not sinned. And so we know that Christ knows what sin is. He's the creator of the world. He's the one who created everything that we know of. He created the devil. He didn't create the devil and the evil and the wicked state that we know him now, but he created everything. He knows how everything came about because he is omnipotent. And because he knows everything, he can say and put himself in our spot and know that he is the mediation, that he is the only way that we can have the required reconciliation with our Creator. And if we don't go through him, then there is no other way to have that reestablished relationship with God. If you'll jump back up to verse 16. You know, verse 16 really points out that knowing Christ means that you are in Christ. A lot of people in the world like to say that, oh yeah, I know Christ. And they think just because they know Christ that they're in a saved state. Yeah, I've heard of Christ. I know who this Christ is. But it's very important that Paul points out there in the very first verse that we looked at, that even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Just because we know of Christ doesn't mean that we're in a safe place. In order to know Christ in the way that brings about reconciliation means that we are in Christ. If you'll keep your finger here and turn over to the book of Romans, verses that many of us know and can quote by heart. Romans chapter 6 talks exactly about how that we are to get into Christ. And without getting into Christ, without being in Christ, we can have no hope of this reestablished relationship. He writes to the Romans in chapter 6, down in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? You see how we get into Christ? It's through going through his death that he experienced. In that death, running right parallel to that baptism that is familiar to all of us. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. If you want to be in Christ, you have to get into his death. And in order to get into his death, in order to get into Christ, then you have to die to your sins and you have to be buried and experience the death that he experienced. Experience the burial that he went through and experience the resurrection that he went through. And by doing that, we can call ourselves in Christ. We can call ourselves reconciled to God. And then if you jump down to verse 17, if you are in Christ, then that's how you become a new creation. There's all sorts of different books out there about talking about how to get to heaven. They give you the 10-step process on how to be saved, and they give you the how-to to live a righteous life, and there's all these how-to and self-help books out there. But the basic gospel message is that if you want to be a new creation, then you have to be in Christ. And the gospel lays out plainly for us what that means to be in Christ. The old has to pass away. You know, how many times has it been mentioned in Bible classes and in the pulpit right here that once we get into Christ, that doesn't mean that everything is okay and you can just welcome everything back into your life that you once claimed you were enjoying, thought you were enjoying, and think that it's okay. In order to be in Christ, in order to have that new creation, in order to experience that newness, you have to give up the old. Because old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so that's exactly what reconciliation means. Have you ever driven by one of the fields, or maybe you've been farming on one of the fields, and in order to get all that old stuff out of there, you got to burn it up, right? You got to burn the field, you got to burn the old stuff away. And you think, oh man, you know, this is on fire, and maybe the first time you did that as a kid, or maybe the first time you saw that, you think, man, that farmer must be getting out of the farming industry. But once you realize what he's doing, you come back through in the next season and you see that field green with whatever crop he was going to plant. You realize that in order for that new to come about, the old had to be done away with. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in this ministry of reconciliation, in this word of reconciliation, in this reestablishment of a relationship with God. We have to get the old out of our life if we want the new and the fresh to be able to sprout up. In order to grow, have you had a reestablishment of a relationship with God? It's also important, and we touched on it earlier in verse 18, that this reconciliation, this word, this ministry, this being reconciled with God is something that is brought about by God. And I want to touch again on verse 18. Look in the latter part of verse 18. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And I think that's so important because so oftentimes we get in the mindset, and you have family I know of, you have friends I know of that have the mentality that I am not good enough for God. Surely you can think of somebody that has had that thought go through their minds, and I don't think that I could become a Christian because there's so many skeletons in my closet. There's so many things that I've done in the past. There's just, I'm not good enough for God. I'm not going to be able to get to that point where I can be good enough for him to take away my sins. Can you see how dangerous that line of thinking is? That completely does away with what Paul states very plainly here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 18. He has reconciled us to himself through Christ. And as we've mentioned, there's ways that we have to get into Christ. It's not just God's throwing this out there and we have no control over, I have no option but to receive this grace. I have no option but to receive this salvation. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what the New Testament is teaching. But he is teaching that the only way to be reconciled to God is through what he has done. And that is in Jesus Christ. And so are you in Jesus Christ? Have you reestablished a relationship with God? Have you been reconciled to God? This ministry of reconciliation is huge. It's something that we can't look over. It's something that we ought not look over. Turn over back to Romans in chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, jump down with me in verse 15 and see what Paul writes here about this ministry, this word, this idea of reconciliation. Romans chapter 11, down in verse 15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, that will their acceptance be but life from the dead. And if you think about this verse in the context of what is going on in Rome, if you think about, the Jews have been kicked out of Rome. Because there was this edict that said, you know what, all these Jews, there's all this conflict going on, and so in order to solve this, we're just going to kick the Jews out. And so the Jews had dispersed. And the letter to the Romans is about this timing of the Jews coming back into the church and the church being run by all these Gentile Christians. And this idea of reconciliation not only is touching on their relationship with the Gentile Christians and coming back into an established relationship with the church, but Paul is writing about these Jews having to reestablish a relationship with God because the way that they had been living under the old law, these Jews that, it didn't really matter, they were born into Judaism, and so because they were born into Judaism, they were born of the seed of Abraham, but now there's a new way to have a reestablished relationship with God. Just because you are born into Judaism doesn't mean that you are okay, because in order to be reconciled with God, because the Jews had denied God, they had denied God through his son, through the prophesied Messiah, by crucifying him on a cross. And so because of this, they were dead to God. And in order for them to experience new life, in order for them to have a reestablished relationship with God, they had to allow the old to pass away. They had to have this reestablished relationship in order to be in an okay situation. And that reestablished relationship was all about reconciliation. It was all about giving up the old, so allowing the new to come through. Going back to this idea of ambassadors in verse 20. You know, you think about an ambassador, somebody who holds a special role, a special title, a special power that they're able to do that no one else has the ability to do. And we mentioned earlier how the apostles had that special ability, that special power. And we put ourselves in the shoes of not being ambassadors in the way that they were, but being representatives of Christ and the weight of this ministry of reconciliation. The weight of being entrusted with this word of reconciliation. Just as the apostles were commanded in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all these things, teaching them to be disciples. That wasn't just for the apostles to go out and do. We use that Great Commission to encourage us to go out and teach the gospel to others. And so just as Paul calls himself and the other apostles ambassadors of Christ, we can put ourselves in the shoes of being representatives of Christ. And if we're not living like Christians, then don't you dare go out and call yourself a Christian. If you're not living a life that looks reconciled to God, if you're not living a life that looks like you have a fresh relationship with God, then don't you dare call yourself a Christian. Don't you dare go out there and wear the name of Christ and yet live a life that is not in accordance with being reconciled to God. Because if we're doing that, we're living a lie. And see, unless we have that reconciliation to God, we cannot have a new creation. And so don't act like we're something that we're not. Reconciliation is only for the righteous. And God made that possible. As we see in the last part of verse 20 there, and it's not saying that you have to get to a certain level of righteousness, but this ministry, this word, this reestablished relationship puts us in a righteous spot. because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness. See, God sent Christ down to this earth in the image of him being made into sin, the image of him taking on the entire sin of the world so that we would look righteous, so that we would be righteous, is deep. You know, if you have somebody in mind that you were thinking about earlier that has that mentality of, you know, I don't think that I can ever be good enough for God, tell them to turn over and read this last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at what Christ did for you. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter what level of sin you had in your past. God can take care of it, because he is desiring more than anything else in the world for you to have a reestablished relationship with him, for you to be reconciled to him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he sent him to the world. That's why he allowed him to take on the sin of the world. That's why he allowed him to suffer. That's why he allowed him to be beat. That's why he allowed him to put him up on a cross, to be spat on, to be just plain out embarrassed, be plain out abused, to suffer and to die so that you could be reconciled to him. And so don't allow anybody to think that they're not good enough for God, because Christ took on each and every one of our sins. He took on my sin. He took on your sin. Because he wants more than anything for you to have a reestablished relationship with him. And if we don't have a reestablished relationship, if we're not reestablished and reconciled to God, then we will not have a new creation. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven? Do you want to have your home there forever? And you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, I really need to reestablish my relationship with God. Maybe you've never had that relationship with God. Maybe you've never gotten into Christ through dying to yourself, through dying to your sins, and being buried with him in baptism. Maybe you've never been reconciled to him by being raised from the grave as he raised his son from the grave. And you want to have a reconciliation with God. You want to have that relationship with God. You want to be reconciled to God. You want to have that hope of a new home, of a new creation. Then there's no better time than right now. Or maybe you've done that in the past and you've fallen away from God. You've gotten out of that relationship. And as he's talking to the church in Corinth, as he was talking to the church in Rome, many of them were Christians. And certainly there were some there that maybe got a hold of this letter or heard the teachings from this letter or heard Paul teach that weren't Christians. And they wanted to be reestablished with God. They wanted to have that relationship with God. But maybe you're sitting here like some of those were at the church in Corinth, like the church in Rome. And you realize that, you know what, I once was in Christ, but it's time to be reconciled to God. If you're not reconciled with God, if you don't have a relationship with God, and that relationship wasn't founded in Christ, then you have no hope of a new creation. Would you like to be reconciled to God? Then do so as together we stand and sing.